Okay, so welcome once again. I know there's a break last week from this series on the Wheel of Life. So we're now at week four, looking at this map. And for those of you who have missed some of it, I'm just going to give a very, very brief rerun to get us up to speed. So, really the main thing that this map, this image is referring to is the reality that all of us are in an ongoing process of constructing a sense of a separate selfhood, a kind of ongoing sense of me, I. And what this is describing is the difficulties, the fixes that we get ourselves into because of this ongoing task that we've set ourselves to create this me. And so the first week we just looked a bit at the kind of core, the hub that sort of drives the whole machine of this kind of construct, which is the kind of pushing an experience, trying to push some experiences away, trying to grab hold of other experiences, and also being kind of generally confused in between those experiences. And this kind of pushing and pulling and trying to work it all out, this work, what we're trying to do is trying to create some solidity and permanence in actually a universe which is impermanent, insubstantial. And completely fluid, but this is what we tend to do, and this is so this is the hub really of the difficulties that we get ourselves into because of this struggle that we have with reality. In the second week we looked a bit at the nature of the construct of mind, looked at the vijnanas and the way that they pointed to the experience or the truth of karma. This is the way that the way we our willed actions tends to create our life, tends to create the perception of our life and the experiences, the way we interpret in spirit experiences, which led naturally into looking at the six realms, which were these different ways that, although it was described as six, actually what I was suggesting was that actually we each live in our own personal universe, and that we live in this construct where we are perceiving everything around us in a very unique and particular way, which is based on partly on our karma, on the way we constructed our lives through our karmic actions. So this is the six realms, and tonight I'm going to be looking at this kind of outer ring, which is really goes into the mechanics of how we build and construct a sense of our ongoing selfhood. So it's really a bit more than just looking at conditionality. It's actually looking at conditionality in relation to the way that we create our form and the ongoing kind of movement from life to life, manifesting in different shapes, different forms, different world systems. And just to say that what I'll also be doing tonight, so that otherwise it just becomes rather as this image suggests, you know, it's a very self-enclosed system. So tonight I'll also be looking at what's described as the gap, which I think you probably all have heard of, this point of freedom, which actually is available all the time to us, and actually kind of gives a sense of hope and movement. So we move through the gap out of this enclosed self-created system into a more open way of being, a more fluid engagement with reality. So this, I'll be talking a bit about that towards the end this evening, and then next week I'll be looking at the Buddha Mandala, which is really expression of the consequences of stepping through that gap. But that's to come. So where to start? I think I'd probably like to start here at the top, which is so what we have. So out of these, although these are kind of these are all illustrations of ways of being, and kind of each one links into the next. So in the first one, the first image is usually depicted. It's not quite right here, but that, what it's actually trying to depict there is of a blind man moving forward, trying to grope around looking for a path. So this is said to be the human situation, that we kind of start the start or a starting point for our journey. So we could in fact start anywhere on this circle, but I'm starting there. And part of the reason is that is that's I suppose it's just the mystery that we are here, that actually we are, we find ourselves in this body, in this life, and I don't know how, you know, why I'm here, but I just know I am here. So in that sense, I am blind to the truth of what has drawn me into this particular body, into this particular time, into this particular arena of activity. And that will be the same for all of us, I imagine. There is that question, that sort of unknown, that mystery of embodiment. And so this is the starting point, really, for the journey of this particular life that we are that we find ourselves in. We just find ourselves being born, being in this life. But what propels us into this particular shape, into this particular world system, into this particular set of views, is said to be a consequence of past lives. So actually, you see, this is a, if this was a bit, wasn't just a, an image, if it was a living organism or a living thing, it would actually be spinning the whole time. So we just have come at this point of the mystery of being embodied. And actually, what drives us, drives this wheel to move through, that we find ourselves in this place of mystery, and then because of our previous actions, our previous willed actions particularly, our volitions, the kind of construct that we've made of our life, that then starts to give us a sense of a particular shape. So each of us here tonight will have a sense of being ourselves, this kind of experience of me-ness. And that is a construct that we've created out of numerous past events, views, ideas, fantasies about how things are. And all this is what's called the kind of, well, they're the sort of the basic conditioning factors that create a sense of our own life. Now I'm talking about an ongoing experience. Traditionally, this is taught in terms of that this set of conditions actually moves over a series of three lives. But the way I'm describing it initially is just an ongoing experience of the way that we construct ourselves in ongoingly in this experience, our experience right now. So the second image, so we move from the blind man to what we is traditionally seen as the potter. The potter is wheel. So there's this kind of moulding of this raw clay of experience into a particular form, which comes out of our volitions, comes out of our the views, ideas, past experiences that we kind of are moulding this sense of me into. So this is said to be what drives us into life. And we could say that's what drives us into our next experience. So moment by moment, we're enacting this wheel, this kind of movement. We're recreating ourselves moment by moment. So this is described as the volitions. And the next stage of those volitions tend to take us in a particular direction. So the next image is of a monkey grasping a piece of fruit from a tree. So we're kind of out of these particular world system of views and ideas. There's a reaching out after a particular form, a form that we know, that we is familiar to us. So it's that reaching out that actually creates a movement into a particular form. So in the six realms that we looked at previously, there's many different manifestations of consciousness. It can take many different forms. And this reaching out, grasping, actually creates the specific form. So what we have is the next image is that grasping, what it links onto the image is of four people in a boat. So this is said to be the body. So we kind of are that reaching out at the deepest sense of our being, our kind of habits and views. We reach out for a bodily form which will be familiar to us, and we also reach out for the forms of our mental forms that we know. So this is the mental constructs that we have around, that we have built around us, but also our physical form. So this is the four men in the boat. And at the moment, that's said to be still abstract, still kind of a direction of travel. But eventually that swirling of volition, of drive to being, eventually lands into or concretizes into the image of a house. So the house is simply the body with its sense doors, or sense doors and windows. If you can imagine the little primary school picture of the house. Anyway, so so this movement, this kind of mental move, kind of shaping of our energy condenses down into form. So we have then a specific form with the five senses and the sixth sense of the mind. So this kind of is where we find ourselves in this body. And because we have this body, we are constantly receiving sense impressions. We have this ongoing sense of eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind, etc., which is creating these sensations. And these sensations are actually arising because we have this particular form. So we have no control over perception. We have no control over that sort of basic contact with life. with experience. It's just because we have this body that we have these experiences, we have these ways of perceiving. And again, if we go back to the different realms of being, one can imagine that each of us, although we have this kind of common, in a way, a kind of quite a common form, the way we receive those their impressions will be very unique to each of us. We kind of make of it have a very unique response. But the primary response that we all have after we've had this contact is that we know the experience is either painful or pleasurable or a bit somewhere in between. But it's basically these raw experiences are always simply painful or pleasurable. And that, again, is just not something we have to do. It's kind of inherent to the experience, inherent to the kind of human condition or the particular bodily form that we've picked up. So we have this moment of feeling something being either painful or pleasurable. Okay. So we then get to the very important point, the important experience. So hopefully you're with me so far that we are in this body because we have a body and a mind, we have perceptions, we have these experiences of contact with life. And that contact is both painful and pleasurable, depending on what it is that's arising in our experience. But then what happens with that contact? So we make that contact. The contact is at this point here. So the contact... I have to look at my notes a minute. I'm getting a bit lost here. So we have the contact here, and then we go to the feelings, which are painful or pleasurable. And the image for this kind of experience of the kind of sense impression entering our being is the image is actually of an arrow going into the eye. So it's quite a kind of strong kind of, yeah, all right, I get that one. It's kind of, you are having a strong experience of contact, giving rise to feeling. And let's say at this point, this is really the kind of the ground really of the spiritual life. This point of actually being in those sensations, the sensations of pleasurable sensations and painful sensations, is actually the kind of working ground of spiritual practice. Because what we tend to do with that is we quickly move from that bare feeling to the next point on the circle of conditions. And that point is that we then are actually grasping after, either grasping an ending of that experience. We all, I think, it's probably fair to say that we sort of grasp after sense experience. We kind of want to know it, particularly if it's in the pleasurable experience, we want it. But there's more subtle grasping also that takes place once we move. What we tend to do with these feeling content is actually we tend to grasp after wanting a continuity of that experience, a kind of perpetuating that experience and perpetuating that existence, or we want to completely annihilate that experience. We want it to end, we want it to evaporate, go away. So there's a kind of, we are to have a craving for ongoing pleasure, ongoing existence, or even a, a craving, a movement towards just wanting things to end. So there's those two movements really with that experience. And as I say, it's that kind of cusp between the bare experience and then what we do with it, the tending to either trying to cling on to it and make it some sort of internal pleasurable state, or a resistance to all experience, wanting to create a complete sense of emptiness, annihilation, absence. We kind of move between those states. And that movement tends to lead to attachment. So we have somebody being served tea in the next section. So it's that kind of, you have the bare experience, you kind of crave it in a particular way, and it's served up to you in particular forms, which, the tea drinking is actually the craving. Sorry, I'm stepping back. So you've had your cup of tea, and then, of course, we want more of it. This seems to be the way it goes. We want more of pleasure, we want more eternal, ongoing experience. And so what that then does is, the image is actually of plucking fruit. And this is described as attachment. So we become very attached to ongoing pleasure. We become very attached to particular possessions, particular relationships, particular views, particular religious observances. All these things create a system which is becoming more solidified, more rigid in its form. So we're moving from, if we kind of go back, track back a bit, so there's this kind of movement into being which gives us a particular form, and then out of that particular form we start to have particular experiences. This body gives us particular experiences, but then we start to try to manipulate those experiences to take them in particular directions. And this going in particular, or trying to control life, to just take it into particular directions, is starting to create this attachment to our experience, to this sense of, this is who I am, this is what I want to perpetuate and sustain. And the stronger those feelings of hanging on, clinging on to particular views, it's then described, the next level of it is of pregnancy. The pregnant woman is the image. So the more we kind of cling on to our views, onto our religious observances, onto our possessions, onto our lifestyle, we start to kind of incubate a particular strong state of being. We're actually creating a permanent being, which is then going to experience this the wheel all over again. Because what comes out of pregnancy inevitably is birth. So we become more and more entrenched in our views, in our ways of being, and create this illusion of solidity and permanence. So we're now around to here, but as each of us will come to know, if we don't really fully believe it, because we've been born, we will experience death. So the process of becoming born is eventually, unfortunately, that whole process breaks down, decays, and we return to death. And at the point, or arising out of the point of death, arises a state of confusion. This state of not understanding the situation that we have find ourselves in, the confusion of death. And so Because we are in this state of confusion, we then rest back into our deepest volitional patterns, or those deepest volitional patterns kick in and drive us forward into the next series, to the next birth. So this is the way we kind of circle the wheel, circle from realm to realm, life to life. So traditionally, this description of the wheel of conditionality is seen to be in passing through three lives. So the ignorance and the deep volitions are to do with our past life. So you could say that how we live this life is actually creating conditions for a future life. Now we don't, it's probably too simplistic to imagine it's a my life, our life, sort of moving from place to place. It's not quite as, apparently, it's not as clear cut as that. But it's certainly what it seems to suggest in the tradition is that there is a, well, as we know in our living experience, that we tend to kind of recreate the known world around us. So for each of us, for instance, you'll be sitting here kind of interpreting what I'm saying, picking up what I'm saying, because of your past experience and past understanding, past views, etc. So we don't go into anything completely fresh and new. It's always a kind of not complete recapitulation, but certainly our arising experience in some ways dependent on our past experience. And it's said to be the same as we move from life to life, although it's not a ongoing, there's no ongoing solidity to that experience, just as we have the experience of coming in here, and then we will later on have an experience of sitting, having a cup of tea, and we correlate with those as one being. Actually, the being that's drinking a cup of tea is in some ways different to the being that's sitting here in this room. So it's that kind of, but we create this construct of a feeling that it is a continuity. So the past life is in this phase. Our present life, that is the life that we find ourselves in, goes around as far as feeling. So just because we have no control over this phase of our experience, here we are in this body. So we are going to have, we're going to have contact, we're going to have sense impressions, we're going to have feelings of pain and pleasure. That is given in this life for all of us. And that then leads into this, which is creating our future life. So what we do with our bare experience, the grasping, the attachment, the becoming, those processes are what is actually creating the future life. So again, we can look at that in terms of post-death, or we can look at it post this moment to the next moment, to sitting here, to having a cup of tea. There is that ongoing kind of move being created, this flow is being created ongoingly. But to help us understand it or see it more clearly, we tend to articulate it in terms of moving over a series of lives. So that is the kind of the system that we are bound in, and that Buddhism is trying to support us to liberate us out of that bind, out of that kind of fixed system. And what we have, or often in these images, the Buddha's actually pointing to the gap between the feeling and the craving. So what we have in that gap We have the bare experience and then what we do with it. And we can either choose to we tend to recreate it quite blindly. We kind of move into a particular ways of viewing the world, viewing ourselves. We tend to kind of grip onto certain religious practices, grip onto certain identities, possessions, etc. But there is what the gap is there for, is to help us just open into that felt experience. What is actually here? And to really open into that mystery is actually the working ground, as I said, of spiritual practice. Because what we're trying to do in that, or opening in, releasing from, is this enclosed system. And actually, the more that we can inhabit that gap, what do we experience? I hope some of you got a taste of that, of what happens if you just sit with your experience and relax into your actual experience. What tends to happen is that there seems to be an easing, an opening of experience into a much more spacious, lucid state, a more open state, where one's able to be more responsive and where love really can come into that, into our lives. So this the gap really opens us into what's sometimes described as the natural state, that we move from this kind of enclosed system, this gripping system, this bind, into just the work in the gap is simply to relax, to open, ease into the felt experience. And that is sufficient to allow what we sometimes might describe as the open dimension of being to begin to kind of manifest, to flow through or into our life. This is the aim of practice, really, to actually simply to open to that ever-present reality which sits or stands within and below, behind this enclosed system. So that's hopefully that's enough of a sense of this gap. And just to say, you know, that next week what I want to talk about is, I really talk more about that sense of what is the qualities that arise within that gap. We sometimes use the image of the spiral path leading into a Buddha mandala, but I've only got a week to talk about that gap, that space. So I'm actually just going to talk about the Buddha mandala as a, really as a reflection of the qualities that arise when we start to break down, to dissolve this enclosed system. So that would be for next week. So, I'm aware that's a bit of a rush through this material, as it always is, but we have limited time. So I'm wondering, I just would help me to know if there's any gaps, anything that I've missed, if there's any questions in people's minds before we break, have a break for discussion groups. Yes.
Just trying to, it's really interesting. I was just a bit curious about more about the connections between the different realms.
Right. So you're saying you'd like to know what the connections are between these realms?
When you start from the core, and then...
Yes.
So how do they all... That's the bit that I'm understanding.
So how is this made as a whole piece?
Yeah, in practice, in practical terms.
Well, I think the way that I mean, what this is trying to do is lay out different ways of presenting the way we construct this sense of a separate selfhood. So they're all interconnected in a way. They're just different ways of presenting the same, in a way, different ways of looking at the same territory. So if we start at the beginning, there is that basic pushing and pulling, as I sort of described, that resist or attraction. And then out of that, looking at the consequences more of that pushing and pulling, and that goes into the territory of karma. And then we looked at having established the understanding to some extent of karma, then looking at the different world systems that karma creates. And then to this week, what I've just talked about really is the mechanics of how we move from realm to realm. But they're all interlinked, you know, they're not kind of... I think it's important to see them as a whole, really, because it's the whole framework, the whole map, that actually each piece gives information for the other circle, other reference points, other information. So they do hopefully connect as a whole piece. So I don't know, I'm kind of just rerunning what I've said in a way, but hopefully they see that they're not kind of separate teachings. It is a composite whole that is trying to point you towards a direct experience of the extent that we grip, and the extent that by simply releasing and opening into the bare feeling level of experience, that will naturally lead us into a more open state, the more natural state. Yeah.
What is the symbolic meaning of the sort of monster character?
The monster? he's just impermanence.
Okay.
So it's basically seen that everything within this system is actually impermanent. And he's sort of holding this ball of movement, which we are kind of imagining. We're just this me, which is actually permanent and fixed, but actually it's held in impermanence. And one of the mysteries of this figure, he looks wrathful here, but actually one of the things about impermanence is the wrathful figure transforms in a way into a support and a guardian for practice, in a way, that because actually everything that we do, if we can really lean into the fact that everything's impermanent, it's actually very liberating, because it means that there's nothing in our experience that is kind of fixed and immovable. So we, in that sense, we have constant access to complete liberation, complete freedom, because there is nothing that can't release. So that's... He's a very... sort of double-edged figure, really.
I think the idea is that if you're within the wheel of life, then you see impermanence as something frightening.
Right, okay.
If you escape from the wheel of life, you see impermanence as just the way things are,
yeah.
And actually potentially something beautiful.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, is there anything else? All right, so we're going to have groups now, and I thought what would be worth, I'll obviously leave for you to can raise whatever you like in your groups, but the offer you a question to consider, and that question is, it's actually a term that I heard used about half an hour ago, and the question is, do you, in your own lives, get a taste of this understanding that in experience there is a point of freedom, that this gap that I've been referring to, this crucial point of practice, this pivotal point in practice, Do you really get a sense of that? Do you know that experience of opening or kind of feeling, just actually being with your experience as it is, and how that actually starts to create a sense of a bit more freedom, a bit more ease in your experience? So the suggestion I have for you is to see if you can have a conversation around that dynamic, that simply by being with your experience, being with the felt experience, how that does naturally. Maybe you want to challenge that observation, but that's part of the discussion. Just what is within that, in that pivotal point, really, in this map.